Proverbs, and we're going to read 21, Proverbs 21. There's a couple of thoughts I'd like to share with you regarding a subject that's been heavy on my heart because of the attitude. You know, we live in a world where attitudes are very difficult to keep under control. And as I read this passage, I don't want you to have any conclusions as to who these passages may be referring to, because it's obvious it is the attitude of a Christian toward those who are less fortunate than us in the world. And, you know, I don't want you to think we're thinking of Haitian population, but it's an attitude that we have all about us and society that is affected. And as Christians, we really need to be on our guard. I know I do. And so we want to read the first verse in Proverbs 21 and verse 26. He coveteth greedily all the day long, but the righteous giveth and spareth not. Now, it is very important to understand that there are a lot of situations in life where people sort of self-inflict poverty, or they bring it on themselves. And there are situations that without being judgmental, please don't, you know, just close your mind to any circumstances about you or people that you might know and you're associated with or know very well in our land. The object of the message has absolutely no bearing on personality. I wouldn't even give this word this morning if I had that in mind. But the idea is I want to get across there's a lot of poverty sometimes, or let's say circumstances that are brought upon us because we bring it upon ourselves. For instance, now we live in a society that what we call a reasonably affluent society. God has blessed us. Beyond a shadow of a doubt, you know, we may have more than the average village or township. When we talk about the other part of the world, we certainly have a lot more than a lot of people in many parts of the world. Abraham Lincoln said the Lord must have loved poor people because he made so many of them. You know, well, I've been there, and I referred to the other evening. I know what it is to be poor. You're brought up in a family of 10, and there are a lot of things we had to go without. As I referred to a few times, I never knew what it was to have toys on Christmas. It was a disappointing thing to put up me, I being greedy as I was as a boy. I put up a pillowcase, not stockings, man. Papa told me, Frank, don't do that. Because the next morning, to save embarrassment, if we had a little fruit, he'd put a bit of fruit in it, I suppose, you know, just to try to keep me happy. I had great expectations. But he would forewarn me not to do it. All the children, in fact, not just me. And so because of poverty, the weeks without work, 10 in the family, it's very, very difficult. My toys, I used to soda pop bottles wherever I found them. I would tie strings around them, pretend that they were my goats, or they were my cows, and I'd walk out in the field farm that I had to take care of when I was 10 years of age. By the way, I hope you don't mind me referring to myself. What other illustrations can I give you from realities in life if I had not gone through these experiences myself? So that's why I'm sharing this with you, all right? So you pardon the personal illustration. And I'd go out 2-3 hours later or late that afternoon, and I'd bring my cows in, toting a dozen or 15 soda pop bottles. They were my toys. But, you know, I enjoyed it. The remarkable thing about it, though I never had a toy, I enjoyed those soda pop bottles. You see, I created in my little mind these little images or whatever they were, these were my toys, and I made myself enjoy what I had. I loved animals. And so I take a pair of rabbits, and I ended up with 250 of them. I used to feed those rabbits every day religiously. They were my companionship, you know, my pet. Because when Papa would kill one or two every now and then, Sundays especially, it really used to break my heart. I'd come to the table and say, "You're not eating?" I said, "No, I'm not hungry." I just couldn't eat my rabbit, even though we had very little to eat and like, they were my pets. I never argued or never was mad with Papa. We could go on and on. I know what it is to be poor, and I know what it is to be blessed with a measure of wonderful things that God has given us, even in Bermuda. As we grew up, got into business, things were a lot better and a lot different. And so we know both sides of the coin. And by the way, young people, listen. I know what it is even for Spanish Wells 41 years ago. You think we always were like we are now? Let me tell you, when I came here 41 years ago, our people worked hard and had it tough. The women would be down on the dock waiting for Mr. Bernard to come in with the fish. He used to go hauling almost every day because fish was the most inexpensive food that you could get at that time. And children ate boiled fish then. I'm not saying all of them, but most of them ate boiled fish almost every night. You see? But you could smell the homemade bread almost all the way down the street wherever you walk. And so the kids never starved. But they didn't have that much. The children didn't have that much. And so a lot of the older set here this morning know what I'm talking about. I mean, it wasn't always like it is today. Now, the thing that I'm concerned and burdened about is, suppose we had to go back to those days now, and God forbid, I hope we never will see those days of poverty again, but suppose we did. That is why you need to garrison your mind and not to depend on riches, not to depend on the circumstances entirely now, because it is a possibility. There is a strong possibility that we could revert. In fact, if we live long enough, it will go back to those days because we have it taught in Revelation chapter 6. A man will have to work a whole day just to get a little, a whole day. And there's indication that that's going to be worldwide famine. You see? Can you realize that right now 10 million children go to bed hungry every night and will die? Listen to this, will die before the month is out because there's no food. Can you take that in our world right now? We're not talking about what's coming. Thousands upon thousands of people are starving to death. There's poverty in the world. There is. Now, attitudes can be affected here, and the proverb, the preacher of or writer of the proverb was the wealthiest man that ever lived, Solomon. And yet he wrote these proverbs, and he gave them to us. He said, "He coveteth greedily all the day long." He's talking about a covetous man, a greedy man. "But the righteous giveth and spareth not." The righteous man who has a little, he gives, he shares that. And that's what the subject is about this morning. There are a lot of people who are suffering in the world. Lift your sight. Look beyond Spanish Wells. There are people in our country who are also going to bed hungry. There are people in America who sleep under bridges. And this makes me feel kind of disturbed at times. You'd be surprised how many poor people in America, friends, that great nation. And every time there's a need or demand in other parts of the world, America rushes to that area and gives millions and millions of dollars in food, and it seems like their own poor that they have in America, there isn't that same thrust or enthusiasm to help them. Because of circumstances, I don't know what's the answer for it. But there are these problems that do exist. All right, now, Proverbs bring out two things, the mind and the methods of our giving and the type of people that we have, okay? Look at 21 and verse 13. Whoso stoppeth his ears at the cry of the poor, he also shall cry himself, but he will not be heard. Now that is a stunning statement. You stop your ears at a person who might ask you for a piece of bread, ask you for something like that. The day is coming that you're going to fall in the same circumstances, that you're going to cry and nobody's going to listen to you. That's why the proverb is so important, that we might have the right mind regarding these things, you see, and that we might employ, of course, the right methods. And he that giveth, it says in Proverbs 22 and 16, got your page open there? He that oppresses the poor to increase his riches, and he that giveth to the rich shall surely come to want. Two thoughts here. Is it wrong to give to the rich? I'll get to that in a little bit while. That's not what is really meant here. But it says he that oppresses the poor in order to get rich, he's going to come to poverty. He's going to suffer. No matter who it is, you could write it down in your book. In the end, they are going to suffer. They are going to come they're going to lose it anyhow. They're going to have to leave it all behind. But the idea here is he that oppresses the poor and thinks nothing of giving to the rich. It's nothing wrong with giving a gift or giving something to a rich man. That's not what he is saying. The idea behind giving to the rich is what you can get. You know you're going to get something back from the rich. But when you give to the poor, you're never going to get anything in return. You see? That's the thought behind here. The Lord knows the attitude of the heart. Solomon was a wise man. And we might easily or quickly give to somebody, as the Lord Jesus brings out in Luke. It's easy to give to someone that you love or someone that you know loves you. There's no pain in that, is it? Come on. There's no sacrifice and there's absolutely no hurt when you give to someone that you care for, someone that you love, and someone that you just think a great deal of, and you never even give it a second thought. It's natural. But the Lord Jesus says, try now something different. Try to give to your enemy. Boy, that is a staggering statement. Try to give to those that you know cannot give back to you. That is where your reward will be the greatest. That's where you're going to be blessed. That's where the Lord is going to enrich your life and he's going to bless you abundantly and he's going to supply your need. But if your eyes are shut to the need of the poor, you're going to have a crisis in your life. And you get that in Proverbs 28:27. I always like the word to back up what I say. Sometimes I say things and I don't have the word of God to back me up. Don't pay too much attention to that, all right, when I say something. But when the word of God brings it out, it's very important. Look at verse 27 of Proverbs 28. Got it? Let's read it together. He that giveth unto the poor shall not, what? Lack. You believe that? He that giveth to the poor shall not lack. All right, ready? But he that hideth his eyes shall have many a curse. You shut your eyes, otherwise you turn away. You're incurring a curse or not the blessing of the Lord upon your life and upon your very deportment in life as well. It's very important. The eyes come into focus here. Don't shut your eyes to the need about you. Don't shut your eyes to the missionary who's out there who gave up his all out on the mission field. Don't shut your eyes to those who are in parts like Africa, India, and Europe. Don't close your eyes to these people because they are ministering to the poor and the needy and the down and outers, you see? Don't shut your eyes to them. That's what the Lord is saying here. If we do, then the Lord liable to take everything away from us as what we've got. Very strong language, but there it is. You remember the story of the Good Samaritan, the man that was beaten, left for dead. He was robbed by the thieves. And the priest came by, and what did he do? He sidestepped the problem. He went around. The priest represented religion. And when religion, so-called, used the name of God under the guise of God in Christendom, and they do not share or do not help, like the Lord Jesus was referring to, you see, the priest who sidestepped that issue or that problem. He turned his eyes. He turned his back away from it. He wasn't going to get involved. Not him. And then came the scribe. He did the same thing, a man representing the law, the virtue of the law. You know, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. So he should have known better. And what did he do? He also sidestepped the issue and avoided the problem. But the good Samaritan, the Samaritan who was not loved by the Jew, and Jesus referred to a Samaritan because they had no dealings with the Jews, or the Jews had no dealings with a Samaritan. That's why the woman at the well was shocked when he said, give me a drink. Isn't that amazing? How is it that you, being a Jew, asking me, a Samaritan, a drink of water? This is not common. This is unusual. He said, but if you only knew who it was that asked you a drink, you would ask me, and I would give you living water, and you will never thirst again, because the water you get from this well, you'll drink it, but you're going to have more and more and more, naturally. But I've got real water. And you know how that woman, when she got the blessing and found out who he was and got that living water in her heart, she ran away rejoicing and shouting. And what did she say? Come see a man that told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? She made a tremendous statement of faith. She recognized the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know, a revival broke out in Acts chapter 8, and there was already believers there. And I got a real suspicion that those believers first started when that woman went back and told and shouted the good news that there was one who gave living water. She was only asked to give a drop of water, and Jesus gave her rivers of living water in return. What an illustration. Now get back to the Samaritan. But the Samaritan man, he got off his animal, and he bent down. The God of all heaven and earth, the Lord Jesus, that's who he's referring to, got off his animal, and he got down to where that man was. He bound up his wounds, took his time. He wasn't thinking of the crooks that could have attacked him. But he bound up his wounds, and he poured oil in, and then he took him, he lifted him up, and of all things, he put him on his beast. And he carried him into the city and took him to what? A hospital. Took him to a hospital. And he said, look, I want you to care for this man. Left sufficient money, 2 pieces of money, the word of God and the spirit of God, as some people like to illustrate, the preacher like to illustrate. When we do it spiritually, we leave the word of God, of course, and the spirit of God is sufficient. And he took care of the needs of that man in that hospital. Boy, what love. The Lord Jesus told that story. Now, do we believe in the teaching of Christ? And there are people who are hurting in our world. I don't know to what degree in our society, but there are people who just making it through life. And we need to lift our eyes. We need to see the situation. All right. We need to look hard, a good hard look at these situations. And the Lord will bless you. He will reward you. As I told you, don't ever be surprised or think that we can't come to poverty. Right now, our fishermen are distraught, perplexed. And now they need to be garrisoned with an attitude that can only be given to them by the Lord. They work hard. And I know they're out there night and day. They're rolling bottom up. They're fighting the elements, as it were. And they've got problems all around. And then they come home, and when they come home, they find out that the price is extremely low because they want it more competitive because of the heavy expenses that they have. And they have a lot of expenses. Now listen, there are wives who've got that money spent already. But the Lord says, oh, I'm going to make you wait another month and make you sweat it out. You know, nothing is certain in this world. Some of you ladies shaking your heads. I hope you haven't spent it all. You already got a car in their mind, some people. That new car. That living room set got a little stain here on the arm. Gotta get rid of that. And they got it. This is the mind working like that. I'm not saying that's true of you, but you know what I'm saying is true to a degree of a lot of people in our island. Money has become no object, man. We spend it like one man said in Nassau, what's wrong? You've got to be wealthy in Spanish wealth. Why do you say that? Man, they come to the city, they spend money like it's water running from a faucet. I said, well, they're not as rich as you think. A lot of it's a false economy. Did you know that right now we're living sort of in a false economy? Do you know that Russia is bankrupt? You say, well, so what? They need to be bankrupt. Yeah? Listen, do you know the yen has dropped in Japan? Do you know the American stock market been going down every day for the last week? So what? So, let me tell you something. When the money market crashes in the world, the crawfish price crashes as well. Do you understand that where I'm coming from? You say, but the price is on the menu. They say, yes, true. Now, I know I'm getting a little personal here, but what I'm trying to bring out is this. They may be on the menu for $24 a plate, but when you don't get your take-home pay as big as it used to be, you going to buy that? Only the rich are going to be able to afford it, you see? I only use that as an illustration. Nothing is certain in this life. Only your salvation and the fact that you have the Lord in your heart and that we're going to go to glory and we've got our riches in heaven. It says where thieves can't break through and steal, moth cannot corrupt, and rust cannot deteriorate. Do we understand where our real wealth is? We get our focus right on these things in life. You're going to be a happy man. You're going to be a man walking down the street of Spanish Wells. You're going to have a smile on your face. You wake up in the morning and you're going to say, well, if the market crashes, my market will never crash what I got in glory. Thank God. It'll never, never crash. Okay? You got, you know what they call a French plague or sickness? I don't even know if I can pronounce it. Maladie. Jumoya. You know what they call that? Me sickness. Everything's me, mine. And ours, you know? Me sickness is a very deadly sickness to have. If you're only thinking of yourself, you're only thinking of your little, what's in the boundary of your four walls, of your house, or if you got five, or whatever it is, listen, you're going to be in trouble. What the proverb is saying, lift your eyes. Look on the field, the white and ready to harvest. Lift your eyes. Look on the poor and the needy. Be compassionate. Have a concern for circles outside of your own circle. That's what the proverb is saying. What we want to do is understand that if you want to be blessed, give. You want to have more? Give. That's the principle of the Bible, by the way. Jesus says, if you will die, you live. Now, how in the world can you just die and live? But that is a spiritual truth. That if we learn what it means when you receive Christ as your Savior, you're dead in Christ, and because of what happened 2,000 years ago, but you are also alive in Christ. So he says, but if you give, you will have. How can you give and have? That's the principle. Same principle, you see? In life. The poor, watch out how you look upon the poor with your eyes. It says, he that giveth to the poor shall not lack. But he that hideth his eyes shall have many a curse. That is the verse we just read. And what about the heirs? Look at 21:13. Alright, 21:13, Proverbs. Ready? Read it with me. Whoso stoppeth his ears at the cry of the poor, he also shall cry himself, but shall not be heard. We read that a little while ago. What I'm trying to get across is each member of the body is in focus here. The writer is referring to our eyes, our ears, and even the attitude of the mind. And look at Proverbs 29:7. 29:7. These pages are, can somebody read it for me? My pages, this Bible sticks together so badly. Somebody help me here. 29, I think it's verse 7. So he regardeth, it says let me see if I got it right, Brother Don. The righteous considereth the cause, considereth. How do you consider? With the mind, right? Yeah, that's it. The mind now is in focus. He that considereth the cause of the poor. You see? Otherwise he will be blessed. But if it's just the opposite, there will be nothing, but a rebuke. So even the mind is important here. Now, all right. Proverbs 11:24. Somebody help me there. 11:24. Go ahead. Be afraid. Got it, Judy? I'll give you permission to read. All right. He that withholdeth. How do you withhold? With the hand. See? With the hand. So it's not just the eyes now. It's not just the ears. It's not just the mind. But he that withholdeth, he that will not take his hand and give or to mete out the need of the poor. See, every part of our being is in focus here in the proverb. And it's very, very important to understand it. The attitude toward God will help us in our attitude toward man. Now, there's no question about that. From a natural point of view, it is not natural for you, if you do not have the Lord to help you, just automatically, you know, go around saying you're going to be observant, you're going to be conscious, you're going to help, you're going to do this. No. But with the Lord in your heart, you know, it makes a difference. We can give because we know this is his mind. This is the scripture. We will do it because of the love of Christ flowing through us. If you don't have the love of Christ in your heart, day by day, flowing through your being, it is going to be extremely difficult from a natural point of view to do the things the proverb is talking about. Now that you have Christ, for instance, if you're forgiven, you're going to forgive. And now that is very important. If you are forgiven, you're going to forgive. He says, love your enemy. Now I'm going to tell you something. This is a problem I have. Oh, some of you nodding your head, you got a problem too. I'm glad you're honest. It is difficult to love your enemies because it is not a normal thing. Under the law, under the Old Testament, your enemies, you were told not only to shun them, but there are many other things you were told to do about your enemy. But now under grace, it is a different situation. And that's why when I went over this subject, I'm going to tell you let you in a little secret. I did not want to give this message this morning because this is the weakest part of my life. In Proverbs, in fact, these are the things in Proverbs I don't like. But I got to. I have to take it and apply it to my heart every day of my life. If I am to be effective as a preacher, I might as well close the Bible up and say, now, brethren, don't ask me to preach anymore because I can't. For simple reasons, I can't put into practice these things or I don't want to put into practice these things, all right? It's easy to preach, brother. But I want to tell you, you better let that word do something with your own heart first. If you don't have a melting before God, if your heart is not softened, if you have no compassion, Well, I'll be up here before you just as a hypocrite, and I want to just ask you to be tolerant with me, be patient with me, because I am not putting into practice all of the things that the Proverbs are telling me to do. But this is no excuse for me not to try. You follow me? You know where I'm coming from? I have not attained to perfection. We got a lot of young fellas here this morning. Boy, you know what it is that, as you go through life, and you're going to face this eventually, you know? Attitude is very important. Very, very important. Your attitude toward God will affect your attitude toward man. Your attitude toward the Lord Jesus is going to affect your attitude toward those about you, believers. I was down Patelco, pay my bill the other morning. I looked up at a sign. I wrote it down. I changed it around a little bit. He said, do you know some Christians, and that's, I'm referring to Christians, I'm not talking about that sign about Patelco who it refers to, but there are some Christians, the only exercise they get in life is they fly off the handle. You ever do that? Jump to conclusions. That's the only jumping they do when they jump to conclusions. Running down other believers. Boy, now that's an exercise that's well into play in our society. A lot of people got that exercise going real strong. They running down other believers. That's the only running they do. Now here's another good one. Dodging responsibility. That's another exercise. You call upon them to do anything. Not me. It isn't that they can't do it. They're just dodging. Are you a dodger? I don't talk about the dodger ball game. Are you a dodger? Do you dodge responsibility? Do you dodge when you face a responsibility of needs in the church, needs of the missions, needs of the poor? Are you dodging that responsibility, activity? Are we dodging it? You know? And then the last one I wrote down, but I changed it a bit. Pushing their wrong priorities too far. The wording down there is different, but I changed it about. We have a tendency of pushing our priorities to the limit because they serve us best, you see? For instance, why do I want a good government ruling in Nassau? Is it because we want to see righteousness established in a nation? Or is it because that I stand to be better off materially in this world? What is the motive behind having a good government? We could go on and on in this. Getting our priorities right before the Lord is first of all to honor the Lord with all your heart, soul, and mind. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all of these things shall, what? Do we believe that? Do I honestly believe this morning that you said, but Frank, you don't know, I've had personal hurts, and I know, I feel for you, I have personal hurts too. Some of you younger people know what it is. You've gone through the battle. You've gone through the problems, you know. But your first priority is to honor the Lord and let Him take care of the situations and to help you in whatever dilemma or problem you may be in. Don't judge. Be surprised how many people are doing things that we don't even know. There are Christians who are working. There are believers who are doing something. Don't judge whatever you do. Don't judge people. That's why I'm not here this morning judging you, saying you're not doing anything for the Lord. No, God forbid. Some of you are doing things, like I said last week, that I can't do. You know? But are people who are serving the Lord. But get your priorities right, young people. Find out in life. The first thing you do, honor the Lord, and He's going to honor you. For him that honoreth me, him will I also honor. Do you believe that? You honor Christ no matter what it costs you. And next week, hopefully, I want to take up some of the things that will help some of our young people in daily living, Christian living. But today, just for the sake of putting into practice the thing that we've heard regarding attitude toward the poor. The thing we want to get across is you honor him. Honor him in all circumstances of your life, and the Lord will richly bless you. Years ago, I told a story about a conference the believers were having, like our conference, you know what we have every year? By those days, things were tough. They had fried chicken, the only thing on the menu. And these boys, those days, the children would be served last. Now we serve the children first, or we try to anyhow, right? And but those days, the adults were speak. The children couldn't speak. They were to be seen and not heard. You heard that. Young people had to wait. Young boys were steaming mad because they saw the preachers around the table gulping down or putting in their plate big chunks of chicken, nice, juicy fried chicken. And they saw one preacher, and they were watching now from behind the corner of the building, you know, and they were watching. And this preacher started putting it in his pocket. He said, look at that good-for-nothing wretch. He ain't satisfied what he got in his plate. Look at him. Look at him. And boy, they were mad. After he filled his pockets up with chicken, he started to walk toward that building where these boys were hiding, or at least were looking. He got over there. And he said, fellas, he said, that chicken is disappearing so fast. Man, he said, I was getting worried that you weren't going to get none. So he unloaded his pocket and gave to all those boys that were behind that building. How do you think they felt? Huh? How do you think they felt? He had an eye that could see. He had a mind that discerned. Chicken was going fast. And he was concerned that those young fellows were not going to get any of that juicy fried chicken. They judged wrong, but I rather emphasize the fact that here's a preacher who had a tender heart, a discerning heart, a preacher that cared. And that is the moral of the lesson today. Care. Care more. And God will bless you. Shall we pray? Father, we realize that these are lessons. To be able to put them into practice requires the divine help of our living God. The indwelling presence of the Spirit of the Lord can enable us to be compassionate, to be considerate, to be kind. We need this kindness, Lord. But it must come from Thee. We pray that Your Word, which is the living Word, will instill within us, O God, not only the discernment, but the strength to be able to put into practice these things we've read from the Proverbs. Help us never to oppress the poor. Deliver us from being greedy or covetous. Give us a heart, O God, that will be mindful of all the blessings that we have in Christ, that we may count our blessings and name them one by one. It will surprise us what the Lord has done. Thank you for our class. Thank you for the good number this morning. We pray that you'll encourage them. Some perhaps with particular needs and particular problems. They may be diverse this morning and they have problems. We commend them to you. Oh God, help them to understand that you care more than anyone in the world. Because you are a father, and help them to confide in you, to pray to you, to talk to you as a friend with a friend, that they might be not only encouraged, but they might have deliverance, no matter what it is, Lord, if it's problems with the flesh, problems with attitude, and problems financially, problems in marital basis, whatever it is, oh God, we just commend them to you today. We know you love them. And we thank you for the fact that you do care. Bless our coming together this morning, for we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.